This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of forests will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. The parable of the growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And now it's the parable of the mustard seed. Excuse me. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My talk today is entitled Resting and Waiting, based on the parables of the seeds. We've just heard Carol reading from Mark 4. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And then the growing seed. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. I've recently been reminded that in these two parables describing the kingdom of God, we hear Jesus calling us to know what it really means to enter his rest, to slow down and take a longer view of our lives. Owing to the pandemic, all of us have had experiences of our lives slowing down in the past year, quite by default. However, before it started early in January 2020, I was on an individual guided retreat at Pleshy. Several things that I was doing in my life had stopped. They had been good things, serving others, and they energized me. But they had all stopped, and I was feeling in limbo. On the retreat, I was really seeking God for what he was now wanting me to do. And all I received were the words from Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I asked God to show me exactly what resting and waiting in him actually looked like. Well, as we all know, within 2 months, we were all plunged into lockdown, and I experienced even more things that I valued doing being taken away from me. And for several months, I felt I was going backwards in my spiritual life. But since I'd requested it, God began leading me on a journey of understanding what doing from a place of rest really means. I thought I already knew quite a lot about practicing the presence of God or practicing mindfulness or eliminating hurry. But what God has been revealing to me is my true heart motivation for needing to be busy. It's been a sobering year. I sense God really speaking to me through these four areas, and some of them may resonate with you. Eugene Peterson writes, "I am busy because I'm vain. I want to appear important, significant. What better way than to be busy? The incredible hours, the crowded schedule, and the heavy demands of my time are proof to myself and to all who will notice that I'm important. I live in a society in which crowded schedules and harassed conditions are evidence of importance. So I develop a crowded schedule and harassed conditions. When others notice, they acknowledge my significance and my vanity is fed." C.S. Lewis brought another perspective. He thought that only lazy people work hard. "I am busy because I am lazy. I indolently let others decide what I will do, instead of resolutely deciding myself. By lazily abdicating the essential work of deciding and directing, establishing values and setting goals, other people do it for me." With regard to the feeling of going spiritually backwards, Thomas Keating writes, "The spirit intends to investigate our whole life history layer by layer, throwing out the junk and preserving the values that were appropriate to each stage of our human development. Eventually, the spirit begins to dig into the bedrock of our earliest emotional life. Hence, as we progress towards the center, where God actually is waiting for us, we are naturally going to feel that we are getting worse. This warns us that the spiritual journey is not a success story or a career move. It is rather a series of humiliations of the false self." And finally, in terms of earliest emotional life, my mother, who, as you all know, died early last year and was nearly 100, was a wonderful woman, but she had been driven by performance and appearance. And so this from Lynn Barb spoke to me. "Sabbath rest teaches us grace because it connects us experientially to the basic truth that nothing we do will earn God's love. As long as we are working hard, using our gifts to serve others, experiencing joy in our work along with the toil, we are always in danger of believing that our actions trigger God's love for us, even if we are unaware of it. Only in stopping, really stopping, do we teach our hearts and souls that we are loved apart from what we do. God needed to get my attention. It doesn't mean that he has not got more for me to do, but he wants it to be out of a heart resting in him and not in some misplaced emotional need. More recently, doors have been opened and I'm sensing God's leading in these areas where he's gifting me to do what he wants for me and not just taking on something else because I've been asked or because I like having something more to do. We see in these passages that God is at work, even if we sleep or get up. Verse 27 says, "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know it." And in our first passage, God says, "I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it." And that passage really speaks to me of God working through a humble heart and not somebody who's proud and working in their own strength. I know I'm on a journey, but gradually I'm understanding that God is doing the work, and I'm called to partner with what he is doing. Jesus said in John 5:19, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." I recently came across these statements and they resonated with me. There are four of them. The first one is, there are good assignments and there are God assignments. The second one, don't lose your first love. Ephesus was doing good things, but they had lost the main thing. The third one, stop. Just stop. And ask the Lord, are these assignments from you? Or are these activities keeping me busy and distracted from my mission? And the fourth one, intimacy and rest are your strength. The following word came out of the Glasgow Prophetic Centre in early January 2021. It is entitled, "I Want Your Heart." And it feels even more relevant now that we're coming out of restrictions and returning to what we call normal. It went like this. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, this has been a year of preparation, a year of shaking, but it has been to prepare you for what is to come. It was to shake off all that hinders you from stepping into what I have for you. Even though it has been difficult and has seemed almost impossible at times, I have never left you. I have always been with you. It's in the valleys where you learn to draw close to me, to seek me first, to spend time with me. Life is not solely about achievement, but it's about relationship with me. I want your heart. I want you. Beloved child. Their suggestion is now that we are coming out of lockdown to take some time with our Heavenly Father and ask three things. What does He want to show you about who He is in you? And is there anything you still need to deal with? What is He preparing you for? What does He want to do through you? Then spend time listening to Him and thanking Him for all He has done and all He plans to do. Rabbi Abraham Heschel writes, "On the Sabbath, we especially care for the seeds of eternity planted in the soul. Lord Jesus, show us what it means to care for the seeds of eternity in our souls. Help us to stop counting the minutes. Help us to relinquish control. Inspire us to live and breathe with greater ease as an eternal being, loved by you. Amen."